Welcome to Series 3 of Diary She Wrote. I'm Liz Beardsell, a diarist and creator of this podcast. I have religiously handwritten a diary every day of my life since I was 12. And on the 18th of May, 2021, I wrote my 10,000th diary entry. In Series 3, I share more stories straight from my diaries, looking at modern dating, the love of friendship, the safety of women. I talk about my university experience, the benefits of therapy, and you'll hear an update on Dexter Turner. If you are new to Diary She Wrote, the podcast is made up of three series in total, each with 8 episodes with overlapping storylines and characters running throughout. So I'd really encourage you to start listening from Series 1, Episode 1, Dexter Turner, where the story begins. Otherwise, it's like picking up a book and starting in the middle. If you're enjoying the podcast and want to follow me online, I'm mainly on Instagram at Diary She Wrote. All names and some factual details have been changed to protect people's identity. This episode contains sexual content and language listeners may find offensive. Episode 21. What the fuck? This story is taken from a 7-month period from November 2018 to May 2019, and it follows 3 overlapping relationships with Miles, Clive, and Tall Neil, all with very different and unexpected outcomes. Sometimes you get what you want out of dating, sometimes you don't, and sometimes you end up with a total surprise. Sunday the 4th of November 2018. London had just celebrated its first fur-free fashion week. Michelle Obama's memoir, Becoming, was about to hit the top of the book charts, and Bird Box, starring Sandra Bullock, was soon to be released on Netflix, which led to the country doing their own version of the Bird Box Blindfold Challenge. I am 36, have been single and dating for 6 years, and it is the week before my 37th birthday and my trip to Paris, where I met art gallery director Elliot Light from episode 8, I Don't Like People. I went to pick up my framed picture, bought some plants from the market and a linen navy bag from Chatsworth Road. I messaged that guy Miles I was meant to meet to see if he could do an hour earlier. But I hadn't heard back, so I messaged saying, I've not heard from you, so I assume it's not happening. But he replied straight away to say he was already at the pub eating lunch and to come and join him. So I headed down not knowing what to expect. I walked in and I saw a guy with cropped hair sitting by himself and I thought, is that him? In his profile pictures, he has long hair. But he waved me over. He said hi and we had a hug and I bought us both a drink. And as I sat down, I thought, oh yeah, I could have sex with you. I'd quite like to have sex with you. He's 44, a fellow Mancunian, handsome, but not the best beard. That kind of scattered hair. He's a marketing director and knows his brands and all the latest trends. At one point, his phone rang. He apologised and said he had to take it and left the table. It went on for a while, which I thought was rude. When he returned, he told me it was his mate who was at this annual brand event and wanted to know if Miles wanted him to buy him this limited edition skateboard. I was interested in the event and the skateboard, so I quickly forgot that he'd just abandoned me. He liked talking about himself and didn't ask me a huge amount. And yet, he was an amazing flirt and knew how to make me feel special. But you can just tell he's like that with every girl he meets. He's someone you have to be careful with. Charming, like Jack, but Jack had a real vulnerability to him. This guy, Miles, just seems super confident, like he knows he's hot and talented and successful and connected. He invited me to watch the fireworks with him in Victoria Park, but I had already bought a ticket to the gig this evening, which was a shame. I didn't want to fall for him, because he seemed to have such a big ego, but I did, and annoyingly, I now feel excited. I wonder what his agenda is. I said I was in Paris next weekend, and he said that he might be too, and said something about a second date in Paris, which would be fun. We would definitely have sex in Paris. I headed down to the 100 Club with a bit of a spring in my step. Great to finally see the venue, and it was good to catch up with everyone. When I got home, I looked at the big campaigns that Miles had worked on. His work is amazing. I'm feeling like he's out of my league. But he's just a human, like me, and his massive ego means that he's not that perfect. Monday, the 5th of November. I was waiting for Miles to message all day, and from my experience, if they don't do a follow-up text, they're just not that into you, despite all the flirting. He knew I would fancy him, as I'm sure every girl does, and he probably has so many options, I'd love to know. I've not had to play games in a long time, and I kind of thought I'd got past that with our age. Everyone has been so mature recently. Thursday, the 8th of November. I was planning to text Miles on Friday, but I thought, if I do it today and he doesn't reply, it gives me a day to get over it before Paris, so then I'm not thinking about him when I'm there. So I said, hey Miles, are you the owner of a new limited edition skateboard? Also, it would be nice to hang out again, London or Paris, let me know. He replied at 4-ish to say, yes, he got the skateboard. Sadly, he won't be in Paris, but told me to have a good time and said, let's make a plan on Monday, which is fairly positive. Tuesday, the 13th of November. Miles didn't make a plan on Monday, and neither did I, as I was so distracted by Elliot Light from my Paris adventure. But as I arrived back into London on the Eurostar, I thought I'd try one final time. I messaged Miles to say I was free on Sunday. Last shot at that one. Tuesday, the 20th of November. Miles replied today, 1 week later. I was trying to wait as long as possible to read his message, but I only managed an hour. He had only just read mine today and said sorry for not replying sooner. I had a looming deadline at work. Could we meet Friday for a drink? So I said I appreciate the apology for the delayed response. Friday at 8 p.m. could work. By acknowledging his late reply, I was trying to make it clear that it's not okay for him to wait so long. Friday, the 23rd of November. I sent Miles 2 pub suggestions for tonight, but he said he might have to work late, and maybe we could do Sunday instead. I said I can't do Sunday, hopefully see you later if you get out of work on time, but no worries if not. I really expected him to let me know, but nothing, annoying. And then, that other guy, Clive, who I've been chatting to for a while, sent me a message and I thought, here is a guy who wants to talk to you. Embrace it. Friday, the 30th of November, 1 week later. I met Clive at the Victoria. I thought he might be a bit kooky, but he was really similar to the cast of This Is England, with his appearance and anarchic attitude. He had a tattoo on his face and another one on the side of his head. He was really interesting, with a nice smile and eyes. He was a sort of mix between Jack, with his reformed character, and Reggie, with his voice and enthusiasm for creativity. He runs an East London hardware shop and told me how he loves to write. He lost his dad when he was younger too, and I think he said it sent him off the rails. He spoke very fondly of his mum and wanting her to be happy. You can see he has such a good heart. I feel I've started to get a type, the reform guy, naughty in the past, but looks back and recognises the mistakes he once made. Anyway, after a few drinks, I didn't think either of us were that into each other, but he started to lean in closer and touch me during stories, and then I thought, maybe I'd like to kiss you. Maybe we'll have sex. And then he leant over and gently kissed my lips and said, wow, I've not done that for a while. He spoke about selling thousands of pills at Glastonbury when he was younger to buy a photography kit, as he used to do a lot with film and video in his free time. He doesn't take drugs anymore, but suggested we go to a rave on the 14th of December. He went to prison when he was younger and said it was the worst time of his life, so had to just keep reading whilst he was in there. He shows me some more tattoos and talks about wanting to get a spider web on his head whilst I'm imagining introducing him to my mum. We decide to get one more drink in the Three Compasses. We sit at the bar and he keeps kissing me and complimenting my smile, and he says the most amazing thing about my cheeks, and I thought I must remember that, but now I've forgotten. As it's so loud, we are having to talk into each other's ears, so we are cheek to cheek, just skimming each other's skin and then kissing. I like him holding my hand, but I had to ask him if we could stop kissing as we were in such a public space and explained it would be okay if we were in a quieter corner. He said, I just want to snog your face off. Shall we find a quiet corner? And then he was like, actually, should we just ditch the dating apps? Me and you, this is it. We ordered a final drink and I went to the loo and I thought, can I just be selfish and have a one-night stand? Do I fancy him enough? But I was really wet, so I thought, well, that's a good sign. He sat at the bar with his hat half on, balancing on his head, showing his tattoo, kicking back and not giving a shit what anyone else thinks, and he looks hot. He asks, shall we get out of here? And I'm not sure if he means together, so I let him take the lead. I put my hat and scarf on, and he's like, you've just transformed from one profile picture to another and you look fucking beautiful. I thank him and indicate, I'm this way. I can't remember what he says, but I decide to ask if he wants to come back, and we head back to mine. With the lights on, I take in his outfit, worn in jeans, a Carhartt jacket, a button-up black and white check shirt and a black hat. We kiss some more on the bed and get undressed and I can't hide my surprise and loudly announce, fucking hell, when he takes his top off to reveal a huge tattoo of Buddha and loads of others dotted about all over the place. He goes down on me and it feels good, so I'm like, do I let him carry on as it feels so good? Or do I stop him? Because if he gets me off now, I might not want to have sex. But I get caught up in that moment and I'm thinking, shit, now I'm done. But I happily carry on wanting to return the favour, thinking I'll get turned on again. But that Buddha tattoo is a little distracting. It's like I'm having sex with Buddha. He mixes it up, trying lots of new positions and kept focused on me, but I was still good and I was thinking, can we just get you to come? He asks, are you close? And I shake my head saying you sorted me out before. I climb off and try with my hands, but he says he needs more. I ask him to explain and then understand that he wants sex. But with the Me Too movement in mind and knowing he is a feminist, I have the confidence to tell him that I am done. And he was cool. He falls asleep, I go to the loo, turn off the lights and music and get back into bed, and he hugs me all night, which of course is lovely, despite the snoring and body heat. Sunday the 31st of November. In the night it was cute, he was asking me to hold his hand as it had been so long. We woke at 9 a.m. and had 30 minutes of snoozing and some kissing, and as we were lying in bed together listening to Six music, he was like, I'm so happy right now. We got ready, walked to Lower Clapton Road, said bye, and he said something like, catch up soon. Monday the 3rd of December, 2 days later. Clive asked me out again, so I went back and said I had a great time, but I'm looking for the one and felt we were missing a connection, and I hoped he didn't think that I had led him on by inviting him back to mine, and I would love to have a drink with him as mates. He replied with a great mature response saying lovely stuff and how he never opens up about his family, but he felt he could and hopes that I find someone as cool as me and if I ever fancy a harmless flirt in the meantime, just to let him know. I checked his definition of a harmless flirt and it was simply to make each other smile, so we're all good. We're going to meet up as mates on the 23rd. Sunday the 23rd of December. I met Clive for Tate Modern's Christian Markley's The Clock exhibition, which was brilliant. Then we went to a pub for a Sunday roast, red wine and a game of Scrabble and I really enjoyed myself. It's such a nice way to spend a Sunday. I thought I'd be rubbish at Scrabble, but I surprised myself and I won. He bought me a Christmas present, a poetry book by Kate Tempest and a notebook. So unexpected and nice of him. He's just like George. Thursday, the 3rd of January, 1 week later and 5 weeks since I last heard from Miles. As I was walking home, Miles texted me saying, Happy New Year, let's go for a drink next week, with no apology for not being in touch for 5 weeks. After some debating of what to say, I replied and said, yeah, that would be nice, and out of interest, why so long to get in touch? He came back immediately saying work got in the way, nature of the beast, would still love to meet. I let him know when I was free, but no reply. Monday the 14th of January, 2 weeks later. A little update. Me and Clive had had one date, we slept together, and were now hanging out as mates. Me and Miles had also had one date. He then suggested meeting on 3 different occasions and had cancelled every time, and yet I still wanted to see him again. And I am just about to meet a new guy called Neil after chatting with him on Hinge for 3 weeks. I had a quick freshen up at home and then met Neil at the Spread Eagle. Super tall, 32, works for a cool hotel brand, moved to London a few months ago. Straight away I thought, he's hot. A good similarity to his photos and what I'd expected personality-wise. But also, immediately I thought, oh shit, he looks a bit like Dan. His eyes, I think. And at the bar, I thought, that's such a shame as I think I'll fancy him, but can I date someone who looks like my ex? He was sitting at a table, but before I could sit down, he said, come on, let's sit round here. Stood up and led the way to a sofa. I liked that he took the lead there. Complimented that he clearly liked the look of me and wanted to sit next to me on a sofa rather than opposite each other at a table. He's had quite a journey in various professions, carpentry, training for the army and now managing the maintenance of this hotel group. It sort of felt like he was presenting his achievements like a job interview, but I guess dates can be like that, trying to sell yourself. There were points where I thought, is he saying that to impress me? When you're new to East London and talking about the scene, it all feels a bit staged. We had one drink and then went to the Italian on Chatsworth Road. He's so tall and I was thinking, how will I reach your lips when I kiss you? We had a nice dinner and then he asked me about Dan and he spoke about his ex. We were the last to leave. He walked me home, which was a relief as I really wanted to kiss him, but it was too bright and open in the restaurant. So we had a little kiss by outside mine. He messaged to say, wow, well, you were quite the surprise. I said, thanks, what were you expecting? And he said, you were just so lovely. I'm smiling from ear to ear. I said, I wish we could have kissed for longer, next time. And he said, hell yeah, and joked about coming back as he'd missed his bus. It's nice to feel excited. Tuesday, the 15th of January, 2 days later. Tall Neil message saying, public service announcement. I want to see you again. He's so cute. We've booked a second date for Sunday. Friday, the 18th of January. I wanted to message Neil, but I didn't know what to say. And then this evening, he messaged saying, hiya, all good? I was in the process of buying a stepladder, so I told him, and he said, is that so you can climb up to reach me? It made me laugh. He asked if I was still on for Sunday, and I said I was looking forward to it, and asked what he was planning. He said he could keep it a secret, or tell me. I asked him to tell me, and then I said, or you could keep all the control. He chose to do that. It turned me on, so I tried a new vibrator Morgan had recommended. Sunday, the 20th of January, 1 week since mine and Neil's first date. I had a quick nap, then met Neil at the Star of Hackney Downs. He gave me such a lovely hug and was very tactile throughout the date. He asked me some more about my podcast and then told me I wasn't very chatty on messages, which I thought I was, but I'm also aware it had always been him initiating the chat. He kissed me in the pub before we left and I told him I wasn't very good with PDAs. Then we walked to my neighbour's The Dumplings for dinner and sat in the window. He kept stroking my leg and staring at me, and when I smiled, he would lose his train of thought and get nervous. He said that when I stared at him, it was like I was looking into his soul and extracting information. He has these big hands and would gently move my hair and hold me by the back of my neck as we kissed, which was really hot and turned me on. I told him I wasn't used to being touched this much, and he said that was a shame. He spoke about the five languages of love, words of affirmation, acts of service, receiving gifts, quality time and physical touch, and he asked me which were my top two. I'm unsure, I've never really thought about it. One of his is definitely physical touch. We watched a film on free climbing called Free Solo, which was intense, and we were touching and stroking each other the whole way through, which was weird. It was like we were a couple, but we'd only kissed, and it was only our second date. He walked me home, and I said I would have invited him in, but I wouldn't have wanted him to leave. He messaged to say he didn't like leaving me. I told him not to pick dates on a Sunday night. We said we'd hang out at the weekend, but he asked if he could see me before then. Monday is my only free night, so I'm seeing him again tomorrow. Monday, the 21st of January, mine and Tall Neil's third date. Blue Monday, but it was actually a good day as it flew by, and I was excited about the evening. I invited Neil to mine for dinner and a game of Scrabble, as he's never played it before. I did the dinner prep before he arrived, and he was wearing a black and white Adidas jumper, and I had on my black and white Adidas dress, so we looked a bit ridiculous. We chatted at the kitchen table whilst I did the final bits and then served sausage meatballs and cauliflower rice. Not my best version of it, but still nice. We had a quick kiss in the kitchen and then went to the lounge to play Scrabble. When he realised we couldn't sit next to each other, he jokingly said, "What? I'm not sure I want to play this game." And then he asked me to change the music. I tried two more playlists, but then he took control, and even though his choice was more appropriate, it made me feel a little rubbish. We played Scrabble and occasionally would kiss across the table or when one of us went to the loo, and then one kiss turned into revealing underwear on the sofa, so we came into the bedroom and had sex. He was a lot more muscly than I expected for someone so tall. He had the biggest nipples and a wide dick, a good size. We went down on each other and early on he almost made me come, but I just got to that point of laughter instead. We went to finish the game and I was thinking, I'm not sure I can be bothered to have sex again. And also during sex, I was thinking of other men I'd slept with. He was a bit distracted playing the rest of Scrabble, and then we came to bed around 12:30 and I got turned on again and we had really good connected sex. It was intimate and hot. But he called me baby a few times, which I didn't like. During the night, I had trapped wind and a bad stomach and a nightmare about a man attacking me where I made those weird noises I often do when I have someone new in my bed. Not the best night's sleep. Tuesday, the 22nd of January. In the morning, he was kind of quiet at first, but I remembered he said he wasn't a morning person. We had breakfast together, walked to the station and said bye with a kiss. He messaged later in the day and said how much fun last night was. I agreed and said, I'm glad we're compatible in bed. He told me he'd never heard anything so sterile, which made me feel a bit shit. I'm not sure about him. I don't feel super excited about friends meeting him, but I don't want to give up just yet, as there could be something there. Wednesday, the 23rd of January. I wanted to make an effort with Neil, so I sent him a message in the morning. We chatted, and I asked if he was free on Friday. He said he'd like to see me, but he had plans and didn't suggest another time. I feel like something has changed. Then, this evening, I had another fun friend date with Clive, playing bar billiards in the Pembury Tavern. Thursday, the 24th of January. I woke up feeling quite low because Neil hadn't been in touch. It's so frustrating when I was unsure anyway, and now he's made me feel low. I've been checking my phone all day and trying to guess what happened or what changed whilst also thinking, stop overreacting. I just want someone to love and for someone to welcome me home. Friday, the 25th of January, 4 days since mine and Neil's third date. I had started to draft a reply to Neil asking what happened since our last date so I could understand what had led him to change his mind. But before I sent it, he messaged saying, hi gorgeous, how's your week? Feels like ages since I've seen you. And just like that, I felt like an idiot for overreacting. We chatted and I asked him out again. We tried to find a time to meet, but no luck. Maybe he's dating someone else. Sunday, the 27th of January. I put on some matching underwear as I thought maybe Neil would want to hang out today, did podcast work, looked into Iceland Airbnb prices and emailed some possible venues for my charity event. And later, I messaged Neil saying I would have liked you in my bed this morning and asked how was the house warming. He replied to say it was tame and that that should be something that happens a lot. But he didn't follow it with a question. How do people not know how to have a conversation? I asked why it was tame and he said, not enough, Elizabeth. I thought he meant, not enough me, because I wasn't there. But after the chat carried on, I think he meant, I wasn't responding with enough chat. I said he was a flirt in response to feeling flattered about thinking he wanted me at the housewarming. And then he said, come now, you can't give me a taste like that and then nothing. I said I'd given him lots of finger and thumb action this week and he sent a confused face. And then he asked, do you want to meet up again? And I was thinking, what the fuck? So I said, of course, I thought I'd made that clear. And he said, you haven't made much clear. So I pointed out that I'd asked him out twice since our last date. And he said, to be honest, your whole fully booked, super busy, don't talk back vibe is a super indicator of someone who is not bothered. I explained it was true. I was busy, but I'm also honest and I'll say if I'm not feeling it. And I reiterated that I would like another date. We booked in Monday the 4th of February. Monday the 28th of January. Nothing from Neil today. He confuses me. Tuesday the 29th of January. Had some nice chats with Neil. Friday the 1st of February. Brief chat with Neil. His flatmates are away for 2 weeks, so he said he'd cook me dinner. Monday the 4th of February. I wasn't feeling confident about seeing Neil this evening, despite us booking it in as he hadn't really alluded to it again. He keeps saying stuff that suggests he wants to meet me, and yet he isn't following through with actions. But if he is done with dating me, then why say this stuff? He said something about me touching his skin soon, and I said, tonight, no. And he said, no can do tonight, I'll fall asleep. And I knew he'd watch the Super Bowl till 3 a.m, but I was thinking, well, why do that when you're seeing me? He said he wasn't sure if it was happening as we hadn't chatted much, and I'm thinking, you haven't sent any start messages. If you're done, just say. I was so sad, I have PMS and I feel let down. He ended the chat with, I assume tonight is your only free night. I said I can do Tuesday or Wednesday, but nothing, no reply. I'm so fed up with stupid men and bad communication and fake personalities. It's all bullshit. Saturday the 11th of May, 3 months later. Another update on the three men. I never heard from Neil again. After sleeping with me and some minimal communication, he ghosted me. Clive and I had started to successfully develop a friendship, which was a lovely surprise. So that just leaves Miles. He didn't contact me again, but he also had a few surprises in store. I met Beth and Ned for Leo's first birthday. Michelle was there too, and I told her I'd dated someone she used to live with called Miles. And she was like, what? No. And I thought, all right, I know he's super hot and talented, but he's not that far out of my league. But she followed the no with, he got married last summer. What the fuck? That explains his constant cancellations. Monday, the 27th of May, 2 weeks later, 5 months since Miles last instigated a date. I met Heather for lunch at the Good Egg. I was updating her on my dating stories and telling her I'd dated a guy called Miles and found out he was married, and she was like, wait, is he called Miles Booker? I nodded, and oh my God, turns out she dated him years ago, but found out he was cheating on his girlfriend with her, the same girl he married last summer. Heather got up his Instagram account and showed me a picture of him, his wife, and their newborn baby. What the fuck? This week I'm recommending a podcast all about human connection. It's called It's Nice to Hear You, and it was an anonymous matchmaking experiment set up during the pandemic. It is based on a study led by psychologist Arthur Aron and his theory of the 36 questions that will lead to two people falling in love. The host of the podcast recruited single people during lockdown and asked them the 36 questions. She then matched couples based on their answers. During the experiment, the couples were only allowed to exchange voice notes as a way of getting to know each other, to see if the power of voice can lead to a deeper connection. No photos, no names, no way to search their match online. The host was given access to all the voice notes, and over the 6 episodes, she shares these intimate connections so we can follow each relationship develop. I love the idea of 36 questions leading to love. Can you imagine if it was that easy? If anyone wants to exchange those 36 questions with me, let me know. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I'd love to hear your feedback, so please do contact me on Instagram at Diary She Wrote. If you'd like to help out an independent podcast, please do subscribe, rate, and write a 2-minute review. And if you know anyone who would also enjoy the stories, please do tell them all about it. A friend recommendation is so helpful when it comes to supporting the podcast. For further details on characters and locations, please see the show notes. Diary She Wrote was produced in partnership with Birdline Media, with original music by Ethan Illingworth. And I can't believe I missed this off series 1 and 2, but the artwork was designed by the amazing Robbie Porter.